You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast. It's Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast. Hashtag. It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ray Von Day, Davey Eyeballs. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Feeling fine, my man.
Oh, that's really good to hear.
Yeah. That is
really
how good are you doing, man?
I'm doing great because it's Game of Thrones season, Ryan. Game of Thrones is back, baby.
Game of Thrones is back, yeah, baby. Right.
Now, we are going to be covering Game of Thrones soup to nuts, as they say. Yes. And we had already taken a look at it in episode one. Shime and I did a YouTube episode. It went right up on the YouTube, and we threw it up on the podcast, so we're going to try to do that. And the little thing we got going this time, Ryan, is we are going to try to... You, me, and Shime, immediately after the episode,
yep,
get something going live time.
Yep, so we're going to start. We're going to jump right on with stream or Discord. We're going to make it go live immediately right after the episode so you get those knee-jerk reactions, like immediately, yes, right as they happen.
So follow at Dork Podcast on Twitter, and we will give you updates on where to find us and how you can see it. And so really looking forward to that. So I know this episode, this coming Sunday, is also only 1 hour, so pencil it in for right around 10 p.m. on Sunday, and we will get things going. Ryan, 17.4 million people watched episode one, which is a Game of Thrones record.
That's a good number. That's a good number of people.
Seems like a strong outing for Thrones.
And how is now, it that I ran into all the people who were like, I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. Like, how did I see all those people the next day? Like, why were they
really
so adamant?
Yeah. That was a real big thing on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, okay, like, do you need to? I'm trying to think. Is there another phenomenon, like a pop culture phenomenon, that you have not been a part of?
Titanic. Remember, I was out on Titanic for like the longest time. I did 20 years down the road. Eventually, did see it. I was also
what about
out,
like recently. What about like in like the day and age of like Twitter, where everybody's talking about one thing? I'm trying to think. I'm sure there is something.
Yeah, it's not as much anymore with Twitter and with everything. Mm-hmm. Remember when we were like, you would catch these phenomenon as they kind of drifted towards you. Now they're everywhere. Remember that thing? Yeah. There was like that thing on Twitter, on Instagram, the egg that people were just like trying to get the most likes for, like just some random egg.
Yeah, like, it's like stupid shit like that.
It's like dumb stuff like that. Like I, that
but like I remember this was pre Twitter, but I was never a Survivor person, and Survivor was like the most popular show. Remember, like the fucking everybody watched Survivor.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm out on Survivor.
You know what I've never also seen an episode of was the OC. Like, people were crazy for the OC.
Yeah, that was very popular.
I never watched that. I never watched any of those challenge shows. Really?
Ooh, I like those. The MTV challenge shows are good.
I watched like the first season or two, and then I was like, this is just sad. These are just people who just don't want to get a job, you know?
Well, kind of. They all work as like trainers, and then they're just like available for whatever the next thing is. What did you think of the first episode of Thrones? Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we're moving a lot of set pieces around. We're trying to get people in place to where things can happen, so I understand that that takes time. The one thing I didn't really like was the whole Aladdin magic carpet ride thing we did. Like, we get the army of the dead bearing down on us. We don't know what Cersei Lannister's doing, but let's take a little break.
Yeah, sure.
And let's go fly the dragons around and find a waterfall and do some jean jamming, do some old fashions.
Take him for a spin. Yeah. Maybe have a little makeout sesh.
Over the pants action, something like that. You know,
that never hurt anybody.
It did. That hurt several people. I've heard stories, but
that's true. That does come back to bite you later on.
Yeah.
But nice start. But only five more episodes, which is crazy.
Which is nuts.
Ever
nuts.
What do we do after that?
We quit.
No,
we quit.
Yeah, we pull the plug. We pull the plug. But in the meantime, Ryan, we have news to get to. What do you say?
Let's do it.
We could have done a whole episode on this, but since our last episode, since our last like official episode, not just Thrones recap, we got the title and trailer for Star Wars Episode 9, which is going to be known as The Rise of Skywalker, and holy smokes, was this fantastic.
I think we're back to form here. People are very excited about it.
Yeah, and I know you are a Last Jedi defender. I am not. This is not what this podcast is going to be about. I'm not going to try to sway you, and you are not going to try to sway me.
Nope.
But this movie, I think everybody is going to be back on board for it. You want to see how it ends, because this is going to be the end of the Skywalker saga.
Well,
so at the very least, you have to see what happens. And in the 2 minutes trailer, whatever that they showed, it all looked freaking badass.
And it's nice to have all of you fair weather Star Wars fans back. So it's nice to have you guys back.
Maybe go the other way. Some would maybe say that you're the fair weather fan because you were all set with Rian Johnson's interpretation.
I never left, baby. And if you're going to tell me, you're going to sit here and tell me that The Last Jedi is worse than the three prequel movies, you are out of your mind.
Revenge of the Sith, it's definitely worse than Revenge of the Sith.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
He doesn't make a lot of sense. Did you like the John Boyega character and role in the
I like John Boyega's character. I think the storyline... Okay, so this is the one thing that I will concede, is that the storyline with Finn and Rose is completely inconsequential to the plot of the movie. If you took that out, it would still be the same movie.
It's just really odd that they wasted any time with that. It was like,
a lot of time with that. Like, a lot of time.
You're like, he's a major character, right? So, like, he should be doing something that...
Of significance, and not like...
Yeah, right.
Like, so, he went and did something which ultimately failed and didn't matter anyway. Like, they could have just gone to that ship and gotten caught, and they could have tried it themselves, gotten caught, and it would have been the same outcome. Like, why do they have Benicio del Toro there? Didn't need him.
I don't know.
What's with the animal rights thing? That didn't make any sense.
I don't get it. And what's funny, too, is like, the Rian Johnson interpretation, or like at least watching Last Jedi, it's sort of like, hey, like, you don't need to be a Skywalker. You can be anybody. And then Episode 9 is literally the rise of Skywalker.
No, and just to clarify, I don't mind The Last Jedi. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's the best movie of all of them, and I'm not going to tell you that it's my favorite, but I didn't mind it. You know, it's not as bad as everybody says it is.
I think, and that's just it, by saying you don't mind it, you're already on the extreme, so it's like, it sounds like you love it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's like such a different reaction.
I think I gave it like a 3.5 or a 4. Like, I didn't really
I think when I walked out of the theater, I think I gave it a 4. It's sort of like Suicide Squad to me, where I walked out and I'm like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Then the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, I just liked it because it was Star Wars.
Well, if you think that's crazy, we got a lot to talk about today, Richard.
We do have a lot to talk about. But just a little bit more on the trailer. So you get Luke narrating the whole thing. So you get Mark Hamill narrating just about the entire thing. That scene with Rey is insane. Like, she's just out there on her own. Pulls out the lightsaber and then just starts running.
Yes.
Running, running, running. Here comes like a fucking TIE fighter or whatever, and then she backflips over it, and you're like, that is sick.
I hope she cuts it in half, if we're being honest.
I hope so, too. Like, they don't show that, but I hope that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Also, you see Kylo Ren in, like, the woods deliver what appeared to be a rock bottom.
A death blow. He's
yeah.
And Mr. Death Blow!
But it also, call me crazy, was that the Knights of Ren that he was working with there?
It might have been. Again, this they could do the Russo brothers and just completely okey-doke us with this whole thing. That might never be, because remember when it was The Last Jedi.
I think it was.
Like, there was a lot of footage from that movie that wasn't in the final cut. From that trailer that wasn't in the final cut. So, again,
They could throw you. What did you think of Lando? How do you think he looks?
It's a good thing he's sitting in a chair. I don't think Billy Dee's got to be like 80 years old.
He's got to be up there. Dee's got to be up there. And like, I don't know if he's in fighting shape, but at the same time, when they did Force Awakens and they were like, we're bringing back Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, I was like, good luck. And they actually pulled it off pretty well.
But watching Harrison Ford run in Force Awakens, you're like, don't make him run. Like, it was bad. Yeah.
Billy Dee Williams is 82.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. He actually looks great for 82.
He does, but like, that's why he's probably propped up in the chair. They don't want him moving around too much, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. Now, at the very end, Luke Skywalker says, no one's ever really gone. And then it ends with the Emperor laughing.
Yeah.
There are theories abound, Ryan. But of course, in Revenge of the Sith, when he is talking to Anakin, he has like this whole spiel about how like, hey, like, you know, and if we work hard enough, like, we can figure out a way to, like, either never die or, like, bring people back from the dead or whatever it might be. And it seemed like he was just selling Anakin a load of bull just so he'd join up with him.
Yeah.
But maybe he's onto something. Maybe he found something.
What if he was weakened at burning Snoke? Like, he was the one, like, talking through Snoke.
I think that's going to be one of the things, because I think J.J. Abrams is definitely going to go back and, like, retcon some things from Rian Johnson. And one of them might be like, give us some sort of Snoke payoff, for God's sakes.
Well, that's it. Like, Sidious was like, Snoke was dead, and he was just basically like a corpse that, what's his name?
Right.
Palpatine was talking through.
Yeah. I thought it could be something like that. Now, he, at this point, if he can come back, then everybody can come back. And like, then things get really out of hand.
Yeah.
But the other problem is, like, if they're going to say, I hope they don't bring like everybody back, because if they're like, this is the end, this is like the end of the Skywalker saga, and then all of a sudden they start pulling like Sidious and like Vader back, and then you're going to be like, well, wait a minute. Like, then I want to see more of these guys.
Yeah, like, but this is it. I hope this is it. I hope we're done.
Yeah.
I'm excited too for the Star Wars Celebration too. What was really exciting is we finally got our first real look at The Mandalorian, that series.
Right.
Which is coming out the day Disney Plus drops, which I think is November 12th.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely November. And $6.99, Ryan.
$6.99.
Fair like price.
The content you're going to get on this website, and I think they're going to okie doke you. I think you get in at $6.99 for like the first year, and then they up it to like $15, which
now,
still.
I also read you can buy a year package for $69.
Nice. I might do that just to be nice.
Nice.
Just think, so not only do you get Disney, you get Pixar, you get Marvel, you get Star Wars, and since the Fox-Disney merger, you get every episode of The Simpsons.
That's insane. You can go back and just watch all the Treehouse of Horror.
You could watch the first three seasons or four seasons of The Simpsons over and over and over again, because that show hasn't been relevant in 20 years.
Well, really, you want to watch seasons like 2 through 5.
Yeah.
Skip one. One's no good.
Well, one's no good. Once they found out that Homer was the show and not Bart,
yeah,
like, that's the show.
And like the animation's different too. It's like one of those.
Oh yeah, like the pilot of The Simpsons is the worst.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, boy. Also, Nat Geo for some reason.
Oh yeah, too. Nat Geo, which is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, have you seen any of those Nat Geo? Breaking Two, which I just watched recently. About, it was on Nat Geo and it was Nike. And it was about the guys who were trying to break the two-hour marathon.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was something else.
Because that's what I saw Free Solo on, was Nat Geo.
So you get that too.
On. So going to be pretty good. And then I think it's also going to be, weren't we talking about too? So Captain Marvel is going to be on there.
Yep.
But I think also like Avengers Endgame which obviously is coming out in 2 weeks. So by the time November rolls around, that's probably when it's going to
– yeah.
Maybe I don't know if it'll be available there yet, but it's going to pop up there, and that's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge, and I'm going to watch that movie over and over and over and over,
over
again.
Over and over and over again.
Did you hear about these? Did you hear about this? Have you heard about this? These jabronis on Twitter who are like somehow are spoiling Endgame already?
Oh, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
What kind of society is this?
So I've on Twitter, I've muted the words Avengers, Endgame, spoiler, spoilers. And I've actually found, like, misspelled them a little. Avenger. Like, I've misspelled them a little bit. I've muted all these words for, like, 30 days. Just so
You know what's funny, too? And, like, I just want to let everybody know, because we've gotten people that will send us stuff. And for the most part, I trust everybody and they, like, the people who listen to the podcast. And they'll send, like, stories like that. Or they'll send, like, kind of, like, joke stuff. But honestly, if I scroll through it and I see anything that relates to Avengers, I'm not reading it anyway. So, like, I appreciate your time and your effort, but I'm not reading it. So it might just be a very innocent joke, like a fake spoiler or something. I won't know because I'm not going
to
read it.
Here's the lengths I've gone through. A student of mine is going to see the movie Thursday night. Told him a week in advance that Friday, I'm seeing the movie Friday night. He is not to make eye contact with me for 24 hours. I don't even want him to look at me.
Smart, because you'll be able to read him.
Exactly.
You'll be able to see him.
Like, I know from the look on your face, like, what's going on. Don't even tell me that it's good. Don't even tell me you liked it. Don't even tell me, don't say anything. Don't even look at me.
You should expel him.
Just for a day. Just suspend him. Like, plant, like, drugs on him and suspend him. So he can't, one, he can't see the movie, and two, he can't ruin it for me.
It makes the most sense.
Yeah,
really.
That does.
Well, that's what's scary is, what is it, next Tuesday, I think, is like a lot of the screenings.
Yeah.
So, and they're pretty fast and loose with that. So it's not just like, you know, Siskel and Ebert and Ropert going to see that. Like, a lot of people can go see it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then you're just afraid that somebody's going to go on Twitter thinking they're the funny guy. My concern is, like, the whole thing that the Russo brothers put out and the whole hashtag, don't spoil Endgame.
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of provoke people?
It's kind of making it worse. Yeah, you're going to make it worse.
I think now you're going to get spoilers all over the Twitter.
Yeah.
So and I'm like going fake Thursday spoilers. Or a week from Thursday. I'm going that night. So.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I am nervous.
Speaking of
Twitter and Avengers, they came out with emojis for just about every freaking character. The ones who are alive, the ones who got snapped away into death. The only main character that I came across that did not have a hashtag, and you can read into this what you want, was Vision. No Vision. What does it mean?
What does it mean? Well, he can't exist without the Infinity Stone, right?
Yeah, but in Infinity War, they were trying to – remember when they were trying to extract
They were trying to remove it, yeah.
They were saying there's enough other stuff in him that he should be able to make it, but – I don't know, by not giving him a hashtag, it was like Ant-Man and Hawkeye didn't have a hashtag for Infinity War, and then they weren't in it.
Right.
So I wonder if, even though the movie's 3 hours, I wonder if we get Vision at all, which is kind of surprising because doesn't that eliminate the idea of rewinding time back to before he got all the stones? Because the last stone he got was the one in Vision's head.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of...
I'm dealing with some time travel.
I think that's probably out.
Yep.
Otherwise, he has a freaking
hashtag.
And
there we go. There's a spoiler. God damn it.
You know who has... Well, that's... I don't know if it's a spoiler. That's just my deductive reasoning.
Yeah.
But again, they can swerve you. So, like, the one good thing is they can, with all this shit, swerve you. Also, Korg and Meek both have hashtags.
Damn right they do. They got like a big series penned by the Sunburn Boys. We got a treatment is coming soon.
Though I'm looking forward to seeing what those guys do. Hopefully neither one gets
snapped. If we were to star in our own Korg and Meek series, who would you want to play, Korg or Meek?
Probably Korg.
Okay.
I feel like I talk nonstop.
You do talk nonstop, but you're also a better physical comedian than I am. So you could...
Meek has physical comedy in spades.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is... That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very good.
They're both very good. I would be happy playing either role.
Though. Yeah, they're both.
I'm shorter, so Meek might make more sense for me. So
yeah, just carry you around.
Yeah,
you can just lay eggs all over the place. He's getting like knives for hands.
Yeah.
Anyway, that So that's the news there for Endgame. Oh, also, Ryan, the there's another Child's Play movie coming out in June.
So?
Yeah. The trailer comes out on Thursday, if you want to wet your whistle. And they had like a kind of a poster that came out today. So you see what Chucky looks like?
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of the original, so there's no way I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to be a fan of the reboot of the reboot of the reboot.
No, and like,
don't need it.
Don't need it. And well, even if Mark Hamill is voicing Chucky, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's fine. But and he looks okay. He looks like a cross between like the original Chucky and one of the puppets from like Dead Silence. Like he's got sort of like that kind of like wash about him, you know?
That texture shading.
It's like a glaze.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. So that's that. So we'll tweet out the trailer on Thursday. See if anybody's interested.
And by the way, if my mother at age, even in the 80s, or if my mother came home with like a full, remember like they had Skipper, like her kid sister. And then they had My Buddy, which was like supposed to be for young men.
Right.
I wanted nothing to do with that thing.
No, I'm out. No interest.
You didn't want to show up to the bus stop with that thing. That's just asking for a wedgie, you know?
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
Like that's no toy.
So if the kid in Child's Play is like super stoked on getting like this little doll, I'm gonna be like, no, that ain't it, man.
No, you gotta have some other reason for having it in the house. That doesn't make any sense. All right, that's all the news that's fit to print. Ryan, are you ready for your news?
Yeah, baby, let's do it.
Let's go.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right,
what do you have?
The big thing I got this week, so details for Sony's PlayStation 5 came out today. Which is fascinating because it sounds, if this is what they say it is, this could give PC gaming finally a run for its money. One of the things it's packing is a SSD or solid state drive, which I don't want to get too technical with this whole thing, but basically what it does is like the boot times for everything, like load screens, are like ridiculously fast. So for instance, you know when you fast travel in Spider-Man and it takes like 15 to 20 seconds?
Yeah.
They've gotten that to like under a second.
Ooh, see that I like. Because even as the systems have advanced, like so have the games, and therefore like the load times.
Yes.
Like Red Dead Redemption, as beautiful as it looks.
Took forever.
Loading like an asshole forever. To get the game going.
Yeah, so it's going to support that. It has 3D audio, which is going to make VR like more accessible now. And it has a processor in it, which is similar to, it's based on like another graphics card that is available for PC, but it'll support up to 8K graphics.
The
issue with that is obviously people are like, oh, that's really cool. It's like twice as good as 4K. I don't think any 8K TVs exist yet.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of TV. There's not much. I have a 4K TV, but like I can't watch anything in it.
So the issue, again, and the people are like, I got into it with Mac a little bit on Twitter, and he was talking about how he needs 4K for his Blu-ray discs, and he can't play 4K Blu-ray discs on a PlayStation 4, which is true. And if he streams it, it does look a little worse. Not getting into the specifics of that, but I think with the processor speed and with the graphics card, like I think you'll get you'll be able to play 4K Blu-ray discs, no problem. Okay. But anytime you stream something, it's going to suffer a little bit. So streaming's not as – it'll be 4K, but it won't be look as good as a Blu-ray. So if you have – I don't know who's still buying Blu-ray DVDs, unless you have like a home theater, but
– Right. Yeah, that's probably the only reason to have it now. But, just because so many things are available, like on demand and everything else, it's just so easy.
But. Yeah. I mean, this will produce images on your TV like far superior to anything you've ever seen, and it'll do it faster than anything. But the most important part about the PlayStation 5 that they're already talking about now, it is completely 100% backwards compatible. So any game you have for PlayStation right now, you can play on PlayStation 5.
Do you think in our lifetime we will have teleportation machines?
I hope so. Like I'm more interested in like VR, but like a VR treadmill, which they've started to develop now, like those 360 treadmills. Like, I'm more interested in that. I want like more immersive gaming stuff as much as I can get it. especially, like I said, there's people, they developed like this treadmill, and people were doing like morning runs, like through Skyrim, which, you know, they're just
That's not, like, think about, like, even though the movie wasn't great, like Ready Player One, like how close are we to something like that?
Like the omnidirectional treadmills, like that's, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
And like just being able to like be an avatar in like another world and like interact with people in that world. And like you're just in your house with the headset on. Maybe you have a treadmill. Maybe you have whatever. And you're just like a different character and you can play games within the game.
Yeah.
And you can row. You can boat. You can eat. You can drink. Stink. You can have sex. You know, stuff like that.
What I would love eventually too is like, you know how they have like those like VR guns? Like the chassis? Yes. I would love like you could have multiple ones on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
And you
cool.
can, like, in the game, you can, like, buy upgrades for them and everything. So it's, like, the same. Like, you have, like, your regular gun and, like, your sidearm.
Yes. This
like, needs that
to
would
happen.
Be sweet. That needs to happen.
This is what we need to do with ourselves.
As much as immersion as we can get. And
forget 8K. Like, give me a game I can smell.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, seriously. You want to smell those, like, burning embers in my nose. You know what I mean? They already have, like, those vests, those haptic vests that you can, like, you get shot and you, like, feel it in the back, you know?
Yeah.
The only other bit of news, and I'm going way over my minute, is I think they're finally rolling out, Twitch is finally rolling out Twitch Sings, which is a Twitch karaoke platform, which I said on Twitter, if this is a thing, and I think it's free, Chris Scheim needs to stream this once a week without fail. Like, I need a new song from Chris Scheim every week. Like, he has to do a set.
Right, and he takes requests. He does some originals. Like that's what we need.
Yep, I will request. I will be his number one fan. I will bring the whatever power I have in the online world. I will bring it to Chris Scheim's Twitch page.
He needs to redeem himself because on the radio show he tried doing 1,000 miles.
Oh my God, that was awful.
It didn't go well. For him.
That was bad.
He had a hard time. He had a hard time not breaking.
Yeah,
which was. Too bad. But anyway, I like that. So there you go, Ryan. Anything else in the minute?
The PlayStation 5 has ray tracing, which if you're a tech guy, basically instead of just faking shadows and reflections, the graphics card will actually create them virtually. Way like light reflects off water, the way it reflects off different surfaces, like it'll do that. That's in layman's terms what it does, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we're getting closer to the teleporter.
We're getting close.
You were sneaking up on the teleporter.
Like, light is going to react to things of different materials in different ways. Like, that's dumb.
Like, would you take a teleporter if, like, there was, say, like, a 1 in a million? Like, say it was a very small chance, but there was, like, a 1 in a million chance that you get teleported to, like, outer space.
The other,
like every once in a while, like say you have one set up and you have to have it all like coded. So say you have one like at your house, you have one like at your work. I mean, you essentially do. You work so close, but say you have one, you know, like they have to be compatible. There has to be a reason like how you can go there or whatever.
Yeah.
And like you take it and like people do it all the time. People do it every day.
Yeah,
like, there's no more cars, but there is a chance, just like a car accident or like a plane accident. There is a chance that you just like get poofed and you are like
just floating. Like in Guardians 2, just like floating out in space.
You like float to your death, and they're like, oh, yeah, like every once in a while somebody disappears.
Well, I mean,
like,
that's the thing. I mean, I could get on the 1 in a million. I think the odds of dying on a plane are lower than that.
Oh, yeah, 1 in a million probably are, yeah.
So, like, yeah, I'd do that.
Right.
Like for every, but also, I'm not going to teleport a million times, you know.
One of these. No, but no, here's what it is. Now, let me really map it out for you. You just disappear. They don't know where you go.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, you could be stuck in a wall. You could literally go to hell. You could go to the moon. You could go just to, like, Australia. Like, they're just like, yeah, people go missing. And, like, we have no clue what happens.
There was a really cool X-Men comic book I read one time where, like, Dr. Doom had all the X-Men, like, in cells that they couldn't get out of, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he trapped Nightcrawler was he was basically in like a concrete cube. And like he couldn't see. And so his thing is like, I need to be able to see where I'm going. Because if I don't, if I go into like another wall, like I just, my atoms don't come back together and I just like cease to exist. So like he couldn't leave because he couldn't see anything like outside the box.
I know. But you can avoid traffic, so it might be worth
it. Oh, it, absolutely. Like, if I think of the movie Jumper, like, all the time. Like, if I could have a superpower, like, that's what I would do. Like, if I just have to see a picture of the place and I could just go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah. Long story short, I think it's worth it.
It's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
Now, if it was like 1 out of 10 disappear, I'd be like, all right, listen, that's not.
No, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that. I'd be like, I'm not your guinea pig.
Yeah, you go first. Is what I would say.
I'd say, hey, Elon Musk, I'm not your
guinea
pig.
Yeah, why don't you jump in there, you weirdo?
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
Can we teleport there? What is that?
No, sorry. It's the topic of the day.
Oh, all right, yeah. I can do
and
that
the
too.
The topic of the day, Ryan, is sponsored by Mana Soul.
Yeah, man.
An infused confections company in Santa Cruz, California that produces all natural organic products, which will be available soon all across California. You might be hearing more from these guys in later podcasts as well. So thanks for jumping aboard Mana Soul.
Mana Soul, thank you so much for being aboard, man.
That is good stuff. And so today it is admittedly not the greatest movie we've ever seen.
No, it's not.
And that movie is Hellboy, which is a 2-hour-and-1-minute rated R film.
Hard R.
Which right now, it's a hard R. And on Rotten Tomatoes, Ryan, it's rocking a 15% by the critics, 63% by the audience. And we begin, as we always do, with our movie and TV reviews, non-spoilers. So, Ryan, for the Hellboy reboot, did you like it?
Kinda.
Oh!
Kinda.
Wow. I was not ready for that take.
Yep.
I was not. I am looking forward to seeing where this goes, sir.
Hey.
All right, now you ask me.
Did you like it?
Not really.
Hey, that's exactly what I expected.
Yes. What did you think of the action in the film?
There were some really cool action spots. I thought, there were some pretty cool action scenes in this that I was kind of on board with.
There was one in particular that I enjoyed the most, probably. And then some, I was looking for a little bit more. And like, because going in, some of the other stuff, like I was looking for action. I was looking for them to really, because the other Hellboys weren't rated R. So this is what made me, like, first of all, I love David Harbour from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. But also I was really intrigued. I'm like, here we go. Like, Logan was so good. Deadpool was so good. Like, they can do rated R comic book movies.
Yeah.
Hellboy would work. Let's see it. So I thought the action could have been even a little bit more ramped up.
Yep.
The story of the film.
Not great. Kind of formulaic, kind of paint by numbers. I found myself looking at my watch a couple times being like, oh my God, this has only been on for 45 minutes.
I did the same thing. I was like, wow, this is it's a long 2 hours.
It's a long 2 hours.
Endgame is going to be, I can already tell, just a speedy three. This was a long two. And I thought the story also had like the basic kind of like plot points, but then also some where you look back and you're like, did you need that 20 minutes? Like,
you're right.
You know, like some things where you're like, what was the point of this? This was a spot that I thought was really lacking. What did you think of the comedy?
It was pretty non-existent, and that the comedy that they tried kind of fell flat. Like, it wasn't as like goofy, as I thought it was going to be, because it's a ridiculous concept. And I think of what
it's so ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous concept, and they could have had a little bit more fun with it. And then there were times where it got like kind of serious, and you're like, "What are we doing?" You know?
Yeah, and I just thought there was, as you said, like there were some lines. So David Harbour couldn't have said the line any better, but that just happened to be the line, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Like, that is just, like, really kind of forcing it, and you're like, I didn't think it was, I didn't laugh once, and that's not, like, hyperbole. Like, I think I chuckled
a couple times.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Now, the look of the movie, so not just the look of Hellboy, which I thought was a pretty good interpretation, but, like, we already knew from the poster and from the trailer. But the CGI at times, I thought it wasn't Scorpion King bad, but there were moments where you're like, ugh.
It was,
like, it's 2019. What are we doing?
Yeah, and when we get into, like, I don't know, are we doing a spoilers thing or is this all spoilers? No, we're not doing spoilers yet.
There
are characters you see where you're like, that's bad. Like, that's really bad.
Or like times where you'd see a character running and then you'd see a background and you're like, they're not in the same place.
Right.
You're just like, what? Like, what on earth is happening right now? So I thought, like, at times, some of the look was cool. Again, specifically Hellboy. Like, I liked the interpretation of Hellboy. I did think the makeup around his mouth was, like, a little
I thought his teeth, like, they didn't do in my head. Like, I know there's, like, post audio that they do to, like, clean up lines and stuff.
Yeah.
And you could hear, like that he, it sounded like he had fake teeth in, like the whole time. Like they didn't clean it up at all.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought the best part, I thought, were the horns. I thought the horns were good.
And I thought like his, like just look, that like that scowl was really good. I thought the hand was, yeah, the right hand was a little too big.
Yeah, the right hand looked enormous.
It was a little too, yeah, big. But he was like talking like this the whole time. Like you could tell that he had like dentures in his mouth. You know what I mean?
It was like Jim Carrey in The Grinch.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was tough. So did you think it was better than Ron Perlman, either in Hellboy, the first Hellboy, and then obviously there was Hellboy 2, Electric Boogaloo?
So this is where I have to clarify that I kind of liked it, all right? Because I've just MF'd the whole movie and then be like, well, you said you kind of liked
right.
it.
Right.
I liked it in the fact that, like, I was sold on this movie that it was the worst movie that was ever made. So I went into it just being like, this is going to be, and I was pleasantly surprised with a couple of things, mm-hmm, that I'll get into with spoilers. But, and every critic who said this was bad was right. But I think this is going to be, you know me, I love cheesy horror movies. And that's essentially, yeah, what this boils down to, is it's like, it's not a great superhero movie. It's not even a good horror movie, but it's like one of those, it's like a B movie. It's like a B movie with a budget is basically what it boiled down to.
There were definitely times where it had a real Evil Dead vibe to it.
And that's exactly what I was going to say in spoilers. Okay. Like, you nailed it.
I knew it.
Like there were some, even if it's a ripoff, if it's homage to a Raimi movie, like an Army of, it felt like Army of Darkness to me. Where
there was times, and that's why I think there's, man, like, I don't even know how to define it, but there is such a line. It's a line that is, this is a cult classic, and this is just a shitty horror comic movie.
Oh, and that's and I think
I'm like, like, to me, it's more on that side than the other. But again, it is such a fine line.
It's such a fine line, and it kind of tried to walk that line, but at the end, it kind of tipped over into like the shitty horror movie kind of thing. But there were moments, and we'll get into one with like spoilers, where I'm like, this is right out of an Evil Dead or like Army of Darkness movie, and I think, like what I'm seeing. Like, I like this. Like, you should have done more of this.
I think the cast around Hellboy kind of prevents it from being that for me.
And they weren't great. Like, the supporting cast was not great. Is one in particular.
Yeah. So what's interesting too about this movie is obviously there was Hellboy, and then there was Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, and then they talked about making Hellboy 3, and it went back and forth, and it was I think Del Toro didn't really want to do it, or Del Toro didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then Ron Perlman's like, well, I'm not doing it if he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, okay. Then they got the guy who ended up directing it, Neil Marshall.
Yeah, but then we're like, all right, what if Del Toro wrote it? And he's like, no. And they're like, what if Del Toro, like, executive produced it? And he's like, no. Yeah, right. And so
then they just scrapped it, and then that was years ago. And then they were like, all right, it's just going to be a reboot for it.
And they're like, okay, cool.
Yeah, and then this is what you got. So would you recommend for people who haven't seen it, is this a theater movie?
No, and I have a very specific recommendation of when and where you should see this.
And where?
You should see this at a friend's house, at a group viewing where you're all just like laughing and like talking about how ridiculous it is. Like, that's how you watch this movie.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. And I also think, like, to me, it's nowhere near a theater movie, especially because, you know, Shazam, which was a pretty entertaining movie, that's going to get kind of lost in the shuffle in April because of Game of Thrones and Endgame. And then you're going to have a little bit of a recovery time after Endgame. Like, we're going to be so obsessed with Endgame. And if you're looking at other movies, like, there's going to be better movies to see. Like, John Wick 3 is coming out.
Oh, I can't wait for John Wick 3.
Even Brightburn, like, I'm intrigued by.
Yeah, that was. Did you see that trailer ahead of this? It looks. Yep. I saw kind of a more of extended trailer, and it looks like real
pretty
scary.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Godzilla, I don't know if it's going to be great, but it's definitely like a theater experience movie.
For sure.
Not, you know, then Spider-Man. Like, there's so many movies, so save your money. Like, don't see Hellboy. But if you do, there is a mid and post-credit scene, which Ryan will explain in spoilers, because I didn't stick around.
Sure.
All right, your hashtag dork score, Ryan.
2.5.
Yeah, so, okay. This is very confusing to me because...
It's super confusing. It's confusing to me. All right, so...
Yeah.
But, like, if you're asking me for, like, a critical score, right?
Because you kind of liked it, though.
I kind of liked it in the...
Two and a half seems like you wouldn't like it.
No, we're talking, like, is it a good movie? Is what I... It's, like, my dork score. Is it good? Or should I be like, is it worth your time? But I'm thinking from a completely critical angle. If I'm looking at this objectively.
I know, but just look at it as how does Randall Von Dandel view the movie?
Three and a half. Okay. Soft three and a half, three.
There you go. I'm going two. Now, the only thing is I gave Us a 2.5.
Yep.
And right now, these are my co-favorites for worst movie of 2019.
Okay,
it's a two, and I'm gonna keep Us at a 2.5, I guess, and this is a 2. But I could be talked into either way, especially because Us, the expectations were so much higher.
Yeah, I think that was it, and I think there was no expectations for this. But let me ask you this: would you rather watch this movie or Man of Steel?
So I'm really low on Man of Steel, as you know.
Right. But like people are like, that's a mainstream comic book movie that, you know,
I hated it.
You hated it.
I would rather watch Suicide Squad than Hellboy.
Would you? Ooh.
Yeah. Yep. Because Margot Robbie, I think, was still better than anything in this movie. That's probably how I'd base that.
Okay.
Now, here are a few reviews, Ryan, from the experts. These are a few reviews. This one I think was just off.
What do you mean, like, the experts? I just told you what I thought.
Yeah, no, that's us. These are other people who saw the movie. Bereft of the imaginative flair that made earlier Hellboy so enjoyable, this soulless reboot suggests Dante may have left a 10th circle out of his inferno.
Shit sandwich.
Yeah, there's another one. Here's a two-word review. Here's another one. It's lunging to be a badass hard R epic, but it's basically a pile of origin story gobbledygook, frenetic and undercooked, full of limb hacking, eye gouging monster battles, as well as an atmosphere of apocalyptic grunge that signifies next to nothing.
That almost sounds like a good review. If I read that, I'd be like, I'll see that.
I'm like, wait a minute, did you say gobbledygook?
You said gobbledygook, frenetic, undercooked, limb hacking, eye gouging, monster battles, an apocalyptic grunge. Like, I'm in on that.
And then this one's from the New York Post. It says, the race for worst movie of the year is heating up. You could even say it's hotter than hell now that Hellboy has taken the lead.
Which, look, I don't think this is going to be the worst movie of the year. I really don't. And I think with time...
Probably, it'll be in the mix, but you're right. They'll probably be worse.
Like, do I think this is a bad movie? Yes. Did I enjoy it anyway? Yes.
That's fine. That's fine. For you, it's a 3.5.
Yep.
For me, it's a 2. And then, what was the other thing I was going to say?
But like, again, I gave Us, like a 4.5?
Yeah, you really like that.
I would rather watch Hellboy than Us.
Yeah, well, now I don't know what to make of that.
Because this was much more, and I don't want to steal anyone else's words, but to quote, like, Mac and Goo, like, the fun factor for me was high enough to make me, like, I'll watch this again and be like, this is terrible, but I love it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Like, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got it.
Like, this is so bad that I like it.
Fine, that's fine. And I thought maybe you might, again, because of, like, the Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, some of the scenes and some of the stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, like, this is kind of like that.
Oh, but it's just like that.
It's trying to be like that. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say non-spoiler?
No. I want to get into more of that as we get into spoilers, because there's certain scenes that I was like, this is exactly out of an Evil Dead movie. But we'll get into spoilers.
All right. So here is my summary of the movie. And tell me if I'm leaving out anything important or if you want to add on to anything. But just real quick, here's my summary of the movie. There is a blood queen played by Mila Jovovich. She is betrayed by her coven, murdered by King Arthur and Merlin. Her body is then cut up, buried all over the place. That was way back in the day. You jump forward to present day. There's a hog-like beast who is trying to put the Blood Queen back together because he hates Hellboy. Hellboy saved a girl named Alice who was taken from her home when she was a baby, replaced with this hog-like dude who could scroll-like change into looking like the baby. So anyway, he's still pissed at Hellboy for that. This Alice girl grows up and then saves Hellboy after he is knocked out killing giants. Alice has some medium powers. They team up, and then under the behest of Hellboy's adoptive father, Trevor, they team up with another agent named Ben Damio, who we later find out can turn into a jaguar. The Blood Queen is now fully restored, She wants to hook up with Hellboy and rule the world together. Hellboy kind of thinks she brings up some good points, but then he later shoots her in the face, doesn't kill her. More time passes. He gets another chance. This time, he kills her with King Arthur's sword, Excalibur, because Hellboy's mother is a human and a descendant of King Arthur. The movie ends. It jumps 6 months. Hellboy, Alice, Ben the Jaguar are all working together. They find a water tank with Abe Sapien in it. There's then a mid and an end credit scene, which I did not see.
You just left the theater. You're just like, I'm out.
I got up and left. Because I didn't get a response. I texted Mac and Goo. I go, is there end credits? They didn't answer.
There were two. There were two. Which is all crazy.
But is that the summary of the movie?
I mean, that's the summary of the movie, basically. But, you know, there's this whole thing with, like, you know, where it is on the hill. The one thing that I absolutely hated about this movie was the motivation for the pig guy. Where it's
didn't make
super
any sense.
And it was super lame. Like, even if that is your motivation. So, basically, he's a changeling. Which the fairies, like, the story is the fairies will come and steal your baby and then replace it with something that looks like your baby, but is like a demon, right? And that's what this pig guy was. Hellboy goes to these people's house. He finds out that it's a changeling, and then he burns his foot with like a metal poker because apparently iron, they're afraid of iron.
He took like a horseshoe and burned his foot. And so, like,
25 years later, that big pig beast, like, still holds a grudge. For that.
And he's like, the only way I can get him back is if I put the Blood Queen back together.
And just like, you could have like challenged him to a fight. Like, you didn't have to do all of that.
Right.
And didn't you see him? So the other thing too is the Blood Queen's pieces are taken like across the world.
Right.
And the pig guy seemed to have found those A, very easily, and B, very quickly.
Yeah, and then they just, like, sew her back together, and, like, her head, and she talks, and she's good to go. So I didn't, like, so those are basically the two villains, and I didn't like either one of them.
No, and I thought Mila Jovovich stunk in this movie.
Yeah.
She should never go near a horror video game or comic book property ever again. I don't care who she's married to.
No, I agree with you.
Not only that, Ian McShane stunk.
And he's good.
He's good.
Normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought.
But he plays Hellboy's dad, obviously, and he was in a lot of scenes. Like, he was a really important character.
And the CGI on Ben the Jaguar, as you call it, Ben Daimio, the Jaguar, was god-awful.
Oof. Rough.
God-awful.
Yeah.
They tried to
he's
do like
not great
a.
Either.
No, and they tried
and a
to.
A lot of, like. If you watch the first Hellboy, so I have not read much Hellboy at all. So I'm not like one of these guys that's like, they didn't, like, that's wrong from the comics or that's right from the comic. Like, I don't know enough about it. I did see the first two movies, and just a little knowledge I have of Hellboy is, like, the main supporting characters in Hellboy weren't really in this.
No, like, they weren't at all. Like, Abe wasn't in it at all. Yeah.
No, and, like, the character that, like, Selma Blair played in the first one, like, who was really important, like, she's not in this. So they tried doing, like, other characters, and I'm like, I think that may have also kind of hurt them.
Yeah, and I think what's missing, too, is, like, you alluded to a little bit in your summary, but they're, like, this idea that there's conflict within Hellboy, like, he, and that's, like, his thing, like, people don't like him, and he's very, like, sensitive to, like, humans don't like him. And so, like, the easiest way to get him is to be like, hey, you can come over with us and we can be accepted, even though we're, like, super evil. Like, they played with that a little bit.
They're like, and, like, because he was dealing with that because he's like, how come you didn't kill me? Like, we hunt monsters. I'm a monster. And yet I get to live with the humans.
Yeah. I mean, that was a little lame for me. But
that,
like,
was lame. A lot of it seemed to be lame to me.
But again, like, it's so bad and so campy and so ridiculous that I found myself, like, smiling, like, this sucks. But I was like, I was enjoying myself.
Well, that's fine. And, like, again, he's on the screen, and again, it's David Harbour, so, like, he looks good, and it's Hellboy. It's goofy. It's a you know, a Dark Horse comic that's had a good run, but it was just like, I don't know, it's missing certain things. Like, I didn't love the idea of going with the Blood Queen.
No,
the whole tie in with King Arthur seemed a little odd.
You know what I did love, though, right out of the shoot.
Merlin.
Nope. Mexican wrestling vampires.
Yep.
That Vampire luchadors. I wanted more of that.
Yeah. That was a good little scene early on. Oh, so the one scene I actually liked was when he first envisioned himself getting Excalibur.
Yep.
And his horns grow out and he's just like fucking smoking people. Like, that I thought was a pretty good scene, but then you're like, that didn't even happen.
That didn't even happen. It was like in his head. The scene I really liked, I liked the scene with the giants. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, the three giants.
Even though the CGI was a little off. But I love the practical effects with the Baba Yaga when he's like, the Baba Yaga's like chasing him around. And she's like,
I figured you would like
and
that.
She, yeah. Because it's right out, that's the scene.
Evil Dead style.
It's right out of Evil Dead. Like the camera's going all wonky and there's like those like really tight zooms on her. And like, I didn't care for the killing kids thing. Like I thought that was a little too much.
Yeah, what the hell?
Like there was a little like...
Like the soup?
Yeah, and there was like the times where like the gore was just like, it was too much.
Yeah, it's funny because like at one point in the movie, I'm like, is this thing going to be rated R or not? Like they said fuck a couple of times, but I'm like, what are they doing? And then they just like upped it with the blood and you're like, oh, okay. Like, but it wasn't even like cool kills. Like at least Logan and Deadpool, you're like, they made it R and they made good use of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it made sense.
This they didn't blow you away with anything.
Like the goriest stuff like happened as like when all those demons came out of the ground and started like ripping people in half, and then it just stopped.
Right.
It was like they gave it an R rating for basically 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. And this is another one of these movies like I'm trying to think. Some of these like the not great superhero movies that get made recently, and you're like, if this movie came out early 2000s, you'd probably love it. But there's so many really good comic book movies now that you're like, what are we doing?
It's so funny. That's exactly what I said to someone last night. Like after I left the theater, it was just like, we're so spoiled now. The bar is so high for these things that if this were the first Hellboy movie, I would be like, that's not bad. Pretty good.
Okay, good, good.
You know, but the bar, like you said, the bar is so high. We're so spoiled with these things and we expect so much out of these properties. That, I mean, nothing was going to save this movie. Like, this wasn't a great movie from Jump Street. But you see Captain Marvel, you see Shazam, and you're waiting for Endgame. And then they just slide this in there, and you're like, that ain't it, man. Like, that's not the thing.
No, it ain't. And, like, so the first Hellboy came out in 2004. The second Hellboy came out in 2008, which would also ask the question, like, you got to remake this?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Didn't really need to do that. So I believe the character of Alice, the girl who he saved and then she saved him, I don't think she's even in the comic. I think she's made for the movie. I could be wrong.
I remember correctly, that sounds right.
Now, the guy who plays the Jaguar, that is a comic book character.
Yes, he's very heavily featured in the comics.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny. So originally cast to play him was the guy who was the first Dario Naharis, and he was also the villain in Deadpool.
Yes.
You know that guy?
And he was also the other transporter.
Yes. Yeah. So that guy, he was cast, and then he found out that the character in the comics is like Japanese.
He's Japanese,
or at least
yeah.
Japanese American. And he was like, well, I'm not doing this.
He's like, I'm a British white guy. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
And then so they cast another guy who, again, he was fine. Well, it wasn't his fault. The CGI looked weird. They also refer to. He's in the movie a little bit, and then I didn't see this, but you could tell me about it. The mid-credits scene involves Lobster Johnson, who is played by Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, so if you didn't see, you didn't stick around for like the mid-credit, like he was only in the movie for 10 seconds.
Right.
Do you want me to explain the mid to post-credit?
Please.
So Lobster Johnson is basically like, Professor Broom would tell Hellboy like stories about Lobster Johnson, like as when he was a kid.
Right.
So he's like, as far as like Nazi hunters and like demon hunters goes, like Lobster Johnson is like Hellboy's like Michael Jordan. Like he's heard, or Babe Ruth. He's heard stories about this dude and he's like a legend. He's like this tall tale. And eventually what happens is Hellboy starts interacting with Lobster Johnson's ghost.
Yeah.
So there's a scene in the mid credit where Hellboy's shit drunk and he's at his father's grave and he's drinking and he's, you know, crying and he's like feeling sorry for himself. And then the ghost of Lobster Johnson shows up and basically tells him like, you need to like pull your shit together. Like your dad wouldn't want you to be doing this and you won a battle, but it's time to fight a war. So you got to get up and you got to get going. So it's like teasing like sequels. And the fact that like Lobster Johnson and Hellboy are now going to be like interacting more with each other. It's kind of like setting that up, which is kind of a big, if you've read any of the comics, that's a big thing.
All right.
So
now Lobster Johnson is a sweet name.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and he
what
has
happens
like this,
in the,
yeah, he burns people's heads with like this lobster thing.
Oh, it's pretty sick. Like the one scene he had actually wasn't a bad scene in the movie when he's like talking about him. Well, so then what happens post credit?
So post credit, what happens is you're back to the Baba Yaga, and the Baba Yaga is talking about how Hellboy still owes her an eye.
Oh, right.
It's like, you still, like, he, you know, he, I got to get that eye from him and blah, blah, blah. And she's talking to somebody. Okay. And she's like, you have to go get the eye from Hellboy for me. And it's like, you have to do this for me, blah, blah, blah. And she said, and he said, I'll give you, and she says, I'll give you what you want the most. And that is to die. I'll let you die. And so a lot of, like, the, a lot of speculation before, you don't see the person. And so a lot of people initially were like, it's Rasputin from the, because Rasputin, the wizard who brought him into the world, who has a habit of being resurrected. But I, it, and many people, and I believe it's Koschei, or Koschei, shit, what do they call him? Koschei the Deathless. And he's in the comics.
So, like, just can't die.
He can't die. Like, there's there's a run of the comics where, like, his soul, the story, his story is, like, his soul gets separated from his body. And then it's, like, taken and, like, hidden in, like, a goat. So, like,
Jesus Christ.
And the and the Baba Yaga has the goat and won't give it to him so he can die. So he kind of, like, works for her. So, and
it's
him and...
It's a wild story.
It's a wild story. But this is, like, why I'm kind of, like, I want to see that. You know, but
yeah. So that was my other question, was going to be, if they, if this movie gets a sequel, you want to see it?
I'll see it. I'm not going to see it in the theater, but I'll see it. It won't be a standalone episode. I'll see it on my own and tell you to watch it. And you'll be like, why did you tell me? And your wife will be like, why the fuck did Davey tell us to watch that?
Like, this is, oh, this is another Davey pick. Like, oh yeah, let's hurry up.
Was that Seinfeld?
Around.
Who's, who was Elaine's picks? Jean.
Oh, Jean's picks. She loves Jean. She's crying to Jean's picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Kramer's like, I don't know, just get this one.
And who's the, but who's the guy? Who's the guy that Kramer goes with? Weekend at Bernie's too.
Oh yeah, he's like, you'll love this one.
You'll love this one. Yeah.
All right, Jean's picks. He ends up being like a kid, right?
He's like, oh no, no. She's like, I don't want Jean. That schlock. I don't want Jean. And he's like, I'm Jean. Jean's the guy that Kramer likes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Jean's picks.
So I'm Jean's picks. That's another nickname for me.
Jean's picks is hilarious. That's a great nickname. Fucking Davey Eyeballs, fucking okay.
Davey Jeans picks.
Jeans, Davey Jeans picks. All right, just quickly, anything best or worst part? I just wanted to say, when I was talking about some of the lines, like one of them, like one of them was just so cheesy. And I guess you got to go for it, like if you want to do that. But like one of the things when Hellboy was telling his dad, he's like, the only thing worse is getting stabbed in the back is getting stabbed in the back.
And yeah.
Like, nope. Didn't land.
That
don't,
wasn't it.
And don't
it was like
that one.
Hold on. Like, no. And that was that. Yeah. So that was that whole thing too. The, well, the worst part of the movie, the Osiris Club.
Yeah.
Like that was some stupid shit. Like,
yeah,
just be like, hey, we need you to go fight these. Like you didn't have to like betray him there. Cause you wound up fighting the giants anyway.
Right.
Like that was kind of stupid. Like you didn't need
and
that.
You kind of figured they would too. Like that didn't go anywhere. Like you kind of figured like these people are on his side.
And then they were dead immediately.
Yeah. That was it.
They were all dead. Like that was, it's like they brought like Slipknot in Suicide Squad. Like they brought them into the movie just to kill them.
Yeah,
like
that was. Oh yeah,
that was dumb. Just,
that's why. Like in my summary, like there was definitely big chunks that I left out, but it was like they didn't matter. Like they ultimately
didn't matter at all. And the other
there's
thing
also
too
a
is
line,
there's,
he cut off the Blood Queen's head, and like so then all the demons end up getting sucked back into hell, and then like so does she, and he goes, come on, like Nume or whatever, Nimue.
Yeah,
quit while you're ahead.
And
you're like, ugh, and he tosses her head.
Like,
down
to I get
hell,
it that
like,
the comic is like campy like that and stupid, but like again, it wasn't delivered in such a way where you knew he was kidding.
Right, like Bruce Campbell can say like groovy and shit, and it's great. Like this was just it didn't really,
or like
didn't
he would make he would like make a face to like let you know that like I know this. It's very self aware. I don't think this was like that at all.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't like the pig creature. I thought that was, his motivation was stupid. I thought like the whole thing. And the other thing I hate what movies do is I was talking about this. We were watching a movie in like one of my classes and I was telling the kids about this, that I hate when movie writers do, when somebody walks into the room and you say their full name and who they are.
Yeah. You gotta like, just to make sure everybody's on board.
Like if you were to walk into a room right now and I'd be like, oh, look, it's Rich Keefe, WEEI host. You know what I mean? You have to, like, explain
like,
who the person
blah, blah, blah.
Is.
Yeah.
Or, like, a character goes, who the hell are you? And they're like, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so. And you're like, okay. You know, like, I hate that more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's bad.
There's a lot of exposition in this movie.
Mm-hmm. And I just, again, like, I go back to, If Hellboy was the best character, who was the second best character?
The second best character.
Brutal.
Lobster That's Johnson.
Probably Lobster Johnson. Yeah. Actually, it's 100% Lobster Johnson.
And the Baba Yaga.
He was in it. He was in it for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then Baba Yaga was eating kids.
Well, the other thing, too, is when he goes and sees the Baba Yaga, you're like, what the hell happened? Like, what the hell is that? And then, like, you're just
Why
supposed,
is he there?
You're just, like, I know it because I've read the comics, but, like, if you haven't read any of the comics, you'd be like, what the shit was that? Who is that?
Now, do you recommend the comics to people if they're looking for a comic?
Yeah, yeah, I recommend. To, yeah. I could throw some out on the twit machine.
On the tweet, yeah.
If you're going to read Hellboy, like, read these, you know?
Yeah, because I know they said when I was reading up on this, the film, so you actually may want to stay away from these ones if you didn't like the movie,
yeah.
But the movie takes parts of the books, Darkness Calls, The Wild Hunt, The Storm and the Fury, and Hellboy in Mexico.
Hellboy in Mexico is actually one of my, it was one of the better ones.
Okay.
To me, I think Hellboy in Mexico is awesome, but.
I just feel like Abe Sapien's a cool character and he's obviously not even in this.
And it's interesting because he's kind of, Hellboy's foil. You know what I mean? Like where Hellboy's like
yeah.
brash and kind of stupid. Like Abe's very sensitive, very smart, you know? So it's,
right. Cause yeah. I liked when he was in like the first movies, when he was working with other like creatures, and like in this one, like he's working with the Jaguar guy, but the Jaguar guy doesn't even show off that he's the Jaguar guy until the end, and you're just like, all right,
yeah, I don't know.
So, I don't know. Anything else that you want to hit on this?
See it with your friends. And you're gonna laugh at this movie.
That's a good
call. You're gonna laugh at this movie, not with this movie. And I think movies like that have their place. And I think this is a B movie of a B movie. It's like a JV. Army of Darkness, Evil Dead type movie that isn't as clever or as good.
And you know what's interesting is I was looking at the budget for the movie, it was $50 million.
Which isn't a lot. Like
it's not
a lot.
And like that, but you can kind of tell.
Oh, you could definitely tell.
In the CGI, because if they spent $100 million on it and it looked a little bit better, I still don't know how much better it would have done. So it's like they'll probably make their money back. Like I think opening weekend, it made like half of it back, I think. So I bet it ultimately will make its money back, but I don't know. I wonder if they'll go forward and make a sequel, because clearly you don't do a mid and an end credit scene if you think it's it, right?
Well, so. I mean, you at least leave the door open, you know, if you want to do these things.
And it's a jar.
And the thing is like I like David Harbour as Hellboy. I think
he
didn't really get much help. I mean, the character looked cool, you know. I don't think I don't think you put enough around him to support it, but. With the right, maybe a better writer and director. But I'd say keep the practical effects, like roll with it, you know?
You know what I think would be cool is if you took Hellboy and put him in with some other Dark Horse characters.
Yes, which there is precedent for that.
Now, what would that be? Like Sin City? Isn't Sin City Dark Horse?
I think so. But that's Frank Miller, though. That's like Frank Miller's like sacred ground. I don't think they would.
No, I know. It would be tough to do. But like you could figure out a way. I don't know. I just think some sort of crossover. And maybe I don't know enough about Hellboy, or maybe they just didn't use enough of his good characters. But I'm just like, if you could get him involved with somebody else, I think it might be kind of cool.
Yeah, it might be cool. I will say this, too. The one thing that was I would urge any filmmakers listening to this right now, please. If you have an action scene, like a high volume action scene, please stop using the song "Kickstart My Heart" by Motley Crue. Please stop.
Oh boy,
I love that song, and you're ruining it for me.
Soundtrack wasn't great.
No,
in this,
super distracting.
Think.
Right? Like
they also did. Yeah, they had an Alice Cooper song in there,
which was a great. Welcome to My Nightmare, but the thing is, like, it was used like so at the wrong time.
But that was also the one that like stood out the most. So like to me, like it wasn't.
Not great.
It wasn't great.
Not great, but like something to laugh at. Not something to laugh with, something to laugh at.
I hear you. All right. You want to, you done with this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's get to the pick of the pod, Ryan.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Kick, receive, defer, or you may defend a goal.
I will receive this week, my friend.
All right, sir.
I have not watched this yet. And I'm very interested to watch it because if you follow Bloody Disgusting on Twitter, they're kind of like one of the authorities on like horror movies.
Yeah.
And there is a horror movie new on Netflix right now called The Perfection. which they are calling one of the year's best horror movies.
Ooh, hello.
So I'm going to be checking.
It's called The Perfection.
The Perfection. So I'm going to be checking that out before the podcast next week, and I'll give you a quick review on that one.
Do you have a...
And
what it's about?
Well, no, because what it said in the Bloody Disgusting's tweet was, don't watch the trailer for Netflix's The Perfection, one of the year's best horror movies. So I know nothing about it.
I saw the poster for this. This is the one, I don't think this isn't a spoiler, obviously, but Allison Williams is in it,
yeah,
right?
And I don't know anything about it.
All right, I'm in.
They also said, be careful, because they also said, don't watch the trailer for Hereditary, which I didn't. I enjoyed Hereditary. You didn't, so.
Yeah, and I watched the trailer for it, so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what hurt. Because I got my hopes up big time for that. So I'll go into The Perfection with no expectations, so that's good. My pick of the pod, I mentioned this forever ago, and I finally had a chance to sit down and read the whole thing, but Mr. Miracle by Tom King. And so it's its own run, so you could pick up the copy, and it's it, start to finish. Really good. I wasn't really sure what to expect. You know, it's like a Jack Kirby character from... what, the New Gods, like forever ago. And so he does it really, really well done. A different type of story, but I enjoyed Mr. Miracle a lot.
I'll check that out.
Next week, Ryan, at the very least, we will be recapping Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 2. Maybe we'll do something else. Maybe it'll be another Double Dork week. Or again, at the very least, Thrones Episode 2. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and everywhere else you can get your podcast. We're on Twitter at Dork Podcast, YouTube, which we'll be doing more YouTube stuff, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And Davey, where can people get after you?
Davey can find Davey.
That's you?
That's me.
Jeans picks?
Right now, we're on Twitter. We're going to be more involved with the Dork YouTube page coming up. And I sent out a series of tweets. It's going to be a couple weeks before the stream is back up and running again. People were reaching out to me and were very concerned about me, which is great. But I can assure you that it's misplaced. Basically, all it is I've been tapped to do like all of this like really cool video work for my actual job at the school. That combined with this is probably the busiest month we've ever had at Dork.
Oh my God. It's
it's nonstop.
We got the live show. We got
you know, that plus like other insignificant stuff, like being a father and a husband and,
That's right. Like, real life.
Yeah, no. So it's a completely professional thing. It's not, everyone's reaching out asking if I'm okay. I promise you I'm okay. It's just really, really busy.
Yeah, so. no problem. So yeah, so stay subscribed to the R. Von D. Twitch account, and we will let you know when that kicks back up, whether it's here on the podcast or on our Twitter account. We will let you guys know.
And just to clarify too, so some of the stuff we're going to do in terms of like the Game of Thrones stuff, like that's still going to be maybe on Twitch, but it's just not, the regular schedule is kind of out the window for the next couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, that is another perfect episode.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent.
I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.